Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, December 1st, 2022. It is Thursday. It is Tuesday. Wait. No. What day is it? It is Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Moonshine Wellness. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Try to keep your mind open to possibilities and your mouth closed on matters you don't know about. Limit your always and your nevers," by Amy Poehler. Oh, can I tell you, that is one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, I'm a little bit of a know-it-all. And it's just because, like, I've spent my entire life, like, reading and studying and da-da-da. But as a lot of you know, if I don't really know, I'll say. I'm like, oh, I'm not really sure, but I think. I heard this. But, like, I really only go hard on subjects I genuinely know about. So I absolutely cannot stand when I'm in a conversation with friends and someone is just doubling down on something they clearly don't have that much information about, or they think they have a lot of information about it, but they're conversing with someone who clearly is like an expert or educated in that thing, and they think that like their TikTok video they saw somehow gives them all of the knowledge against someone who's like studied for years and years on the subject. Like, oh God, like that is actually one of those things. It grinds my gears so much that I actually start to build resentment against that person. Like, cause it is so infuriating, when people just like really double down on things they don't know about. It drives me absolutely nuts. Anyways, clearly I'm dealing with something. Let's see. Ooh, what are we drinking today? It's a weird one, but it's a cool one. We are drinking Ritual Fire from Sip a Spell. It is one of the original flavors when we first did tea, and I didn't know it was going to be a thing, and we were doing it and raising money for charity, and like we did a good job. We were like, we raised money for the Nature Conservatory, the Nature Conservative. I still get letters from them. And we did, I think we did Planned Parenthood, and we did a food bank for people devastated from Hurricane Laura. Like, I'm really proud of like our, I guess our journey with the tea. But Ritual Fire was one of the originals. It is a weird one, but it's cool. So it is really a great tea if you are an adventurous tea lover. So if your palate goes beyond like your classic Earl Grey, this is a really, really neat one. It's honeybush tea, apple pieces, anise seed, lapsang, cacao nibs, rose hips, cinnamon, orange peels, cloves. But what really like takes it over the edge is this red peppercorn. And you see the peppercorn in the tea when you, you know, make yourself a tea. And it is just neat. It is just a wild tea. But because it's different and it's adventurous, it's not one of our popular teas. So I've been playing with the idea of discontinuing it. But like, it's such an underdog. Try it out. It is cool. And we have a brand new tea coming out in January. I cannot wait. I cannot express to you how excited I am about this tea. And I just had like this really special packaging made for it. And I just sent the files in to the package creators because we are going from our very DIY packaging to very nice packaging. And we've gotten quite a few emails about wholesaling, but I don't want to wholesale if we don't have cute packaging, you know? So I really want to get to a point where all of our tea has the really upgraded, like, luxe packaging. But, oh, I cannot wait to share this new tea with you. I think it's going to be so cool, and I just cannot wait for you to – ah! It literally, we've had the recipe for a year now. We made the recipe an entire year ago and have just been very patiently waiting to, like – tell you about it, but you'll see why we had to wait. Like, it's a very, like, you'll see. Anyways, we are actually going to talk about one of my favorite things in the world, anise. Yeah, it is one of my favorite flavors. I'm a big fan of that licorice flavor. So I love anise seed. I love fennel seed. It's just like a really cool flavor. So let's talk a little more about it. So anise, it's the one that looks like a star. It's brown and it looks like a star. So anise is associated with the element of air and the god Apollo, the planets Mercury and Jupiter, and the astrological sign Gemini. Anise is also considered more of like a solar herb. So here are a few things you can do with anise. You can hang an anise seed above your bedpost to restore lost youth. So I guess like it's like energizing. Use anise in dream pillows to keep away nightmares and ensure a good night's sleep. Fresh anise leaves or anise seeds used in potpourri will protect a room from evil spirits and intentions. It can also be used in holy waters for blessings and exorcism. It is said that the scent stirs up lust. Anise seed carrying a sachet will ward off the evil eye. Anise aids in divination and may be added to a ritual bath and or burned while meditating or divining. Anise has been used as an offering to entice spirits and aid in magical operations. Ooh. I love the idea of using it in like potpourri or like summer pots. All right, witches, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from TheGuardian.com. Community at its absolute worst, revisiting the horror of the Salem witch trials. A new exhibit at the New York Historical Society, a reckoning and reclaiming is taking place with a devastating portion of history. You know what this reminds me of? And, like, I don't know if this is one of those, like, urban legends or something. So I don't want to say I've studied the Salem witch trials, but I will say for years I have looked at different perspectives on it from different historians. And I have my own beliefs of what I think happened. There are, of course, more fantastical beliefs. You know, we all have different beliefs, and I'm pretty sure I've shared my thoughts on it. Basically, I'm of the very mundane perspective that we have to remember these were Puritans, and life as a Puritan was very hard, very hard. Your crops didn't grow, you starved, right? And we know when life is this difficult, tensions are high, emotions are high. And and this is before the great, you know, as John Mulaney said, the greatest movement of children having rights, you know? And this is when being a child was very difficult. Being a female was very difficult. And, you know, we have Tituba, who probably brought over some traditions from, you know, because she was enslaved. So what I believe happened is young girls, and they were children. Young girls, got caught up in trouble. They, they're probably like just being child. They're being children, being childish. And they were getting in, in trouble. And they go, well, it wasn't me. It was so-and-so, because they don't want to get in trouble because it's like life's really hard. And then all these accusations start flying. And here's the thing. Imagine being a child, again, before children had rights, being a child, but being a female. So you are the lowest of the lowest of the totem pole of power. And all of a sudden you have power. All of a sudden your words matter. All of a sudden people are listening to you. And this is in a world where that's not only has never happened, but you are in the belief will never happen. You're in a world where that doesn't exist. And I believe it was just powerful. It was really powerful, and they leaned into it because they were literal children. And then, of course, we know hysteria is how hysteria does, and people spiral and become paranoid. And I believe that's what happened. And, belief in the devil was really strong, and it would be in times like that. And we see that through all cultures. Like, the more hard times are, the more you'll do anything for rain to come. The more desperate you are, the more you lean into these extreme beliefs. And it was just like this perfect storm of, perfect storm of paranoia, of hysteria, of desperation. And I genuinely believe it was the mass hysteria. And we've seen that happen over and over and over and over again. It's been depicted in film over and over and over and over again. And looking back, it's not hard to see how we got there, especially in today's world, how quickly, people turn on each other. Anyways, that's not what this is about, but I just like, I wasn't sure if I'd ever shared my thoughts on it, but that's kind of my thoughts. It's the boring one. It's not the drugs one, and it's not the whatever one. It is the just genuinely how the human brain works is sometimes just the scariest thing of all. So let's take a look at it. Danziger Halperin has been thinking a lot about the witch trials lately, as she is the curator of the New York Historical Society's new exhibit, The Salem Witch Trials, Reckoning and Reclaiming, which runs from October 7th to January 22nd. The show brings together a wide array of historical artifacts to help ground audiences in the history behind the witch trials. And it also intends to leave its own stamp on these events by drawing attention to the often neglected issues of race and gender. And this is written by The Guardian. And it really just kind of explains what the witch trials were. And then we have Tituba. But it looks like really cool. So I think if you're in the area, I think it would be a shame to not see it, check it out. Oh, yeah, it's in New York, they said. Yeah, I would check it out if I were in the area. Like, why wouldn't you? These were real lives and lives that were ruined, and the way we tell the story carries so much weight. We really want to make sure we do it in a way that honors those real lives and helps us stand up against injustice moving forward. And I think one of my biggest pet peeves is when people claim that these victims were witches, we are the daughters of the witches you couldn't burn type of thing. And the reason it bothers me is because these were Puritans who were very, very dedicated to God. And no matter how we feel about that now, I feel like it does a disservice to their spirit when we claim that they were the thing that they were swearing upon their death that they weren't. It just feels very disrespectful. But I know everyone kind of handles it differently. All right, witches, I am throwing this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, November 29th. The waxing crescent moon innovates in Aquarius today. Here, the moon can join Saturn and trines Mars. Saturn and Mars usually make strange bedfellows, with Mars lead-footing the gas and Saturn stomping hard on the brakes. But with Mars continuing to retrograde, Saturn doesn't have as hard a time holding Mars in check. With their supportive trine in action, we might actually be able to get something done today. The key with Mars retrograde is not to overextend yourself or to put too many expectations on your output. Saturn in Aquarius will show you new ways to get things done, and Mars retrograde in Gemini will show you who you need to talk to in order to get things underway. Just remember that in this case, slow and steady will win the race. Your daily moon mantra is, direction is so much more important than speed. Many are going nowhere fast. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Feeling chronically overwhelmed and exhausted from work? If you feel like you're always running on a hamster wheel of work and life, but getting no time for yourself, it's time to work with a burnout wellness coach to create the time and space in your life for you. Chronic stress has many negative health effects, and creating rituals around relaxing your nervous system, getting restorative sleep, and settling into your body will help break this cycle of stress. Sign up today for a free 20-minute consultation at moonshinewellnesspnw.com and follow on Instagram at Healers Moon LLC.
All right, so this question comes from listener Bonnie from our Facebook group, and I am going to mark this as with the hashtag featured on air, so you can go and comment on it if you would like to or read the other comments. Bonnie asks, I love how much knowledge you all have. I need some advice. If you were to interview a coven you wanted to join, what important questions would you ask? I love this subject. I wrote about this a little bit in my book, The Door to Witchcraft, but just a bit, just like a little of the big ones. But I have been expanding on this topic a little bit more. I'm working on a book right now. It was initially drafted to come out next year. I don't know if that's going to happen. It may be coming out in 2024, but I'm working on a book that is all about this kind of topic and about how we socially organize as witches, the different ways it's been done, how we can go forward to do those things. And I'm actually going to pull from it. So you're getting a 2-year sneak peek at this book. So here are the things I feel like you want to consider when joining a coven. Number one, what is your goal? Why are you joining a coven? Are you joining it to be social? Are you joining it to learn? Or are you joining it to be a part of like ceremonial ritual? Because let's say you're like, well, I want to join a coven to be a part of a social group. Then you're less likely going to join covens that are all about ceremonial magic and only ceremonial magic. A lot of covens like that tend to not like to be social outside of their magic. So you would not want to, you know, join that one. So it's really important to know what your personal goal is and why you want to join. Number two, experience level. If you've been a witch for 20 years and you've maybe have written books or you are very well seasoned, you may not want to join a group where everyone is in their first year or two of witchcraft. I personally struggle with this. There's a lot of people in my life here who like really love the witchy 101 stuff. And I don't love it because it feels like playing witch. And I'm just past that. I'm just personally past it. It's not fun for me. So that's something you may also want to consider. How experienced are they? And is it an experience level that is compatible with your experience level? Number three, religion. Is this a religious coven? Which traditionally they are. Typically traditional witchcraft, and by traditional, we mean they follow a tradition. They follow a lineage or a well-worn path that's going to typically be, at least with like European witchcraft, that's typically going to be your Wiccan religions, Alexandrian, Gardnerian, fairy. Are they religious and are you not? You may be a hardcore eclectic witch, really don't like being told what to do. So you may not want to join a coven that is really steeped in structure or religion. Number four, commitment level. What's the commitment level? How committed do you want to be? So let's say we're going back to our original idea of you just want to really join like more of a social group. You may be more interested in a group that has low commitment. So there may be different people when you go to the meetings. Like, you know, every time you go, it's new people or different people. And that may be what you want, right? Or you may really want high commitment, and the other members being highly committed might be important to you. So that's important to look at as well. Number five, values. Do you have the same values and goals, right? Let's say you want to join a coven to be more versed in a ritual, but the coven that you join really only get together for Sabbats. That just may not be what you want. Something you also really want to consider is, will this coven help you grow and expand? Will you become a better witch by being a part of this group? And I honestly think you can extend this to all relationships in your life. Does this person push you to be better or grow or expand or things like that? Similar to commitment level, we have consistency. Are they consistent? You may find that when you start out, they come together once a month, and then all of a sudden it's every 6 months. Are you comfortable with that? Is that what you want? Next, we have deities. Are they a coven dedicated to a certain god or goddess? There are quite a few of these. There are covens sprinkled about that are dedicated to certain deities. And of course, you have to determine if that's what you want, if that's the type of group you want to be a part of. Now let's get into some red flags. So those were things to consider. Red flags, sex or money in exchange for initiation. So the problem with covens, and I do get into this in the book, is it can be very easy to fall into cult situations. So cults feed off of the idea that you want community, that you need community, right? And so you want to make sure you are not falling into situations that can be vulnerable to that type of thing. So if they require sex or money to join, big red flag. Two, shady interpersonal problems. I typically call this the side eye or the evil eye coven. And this is that coven where you go to a meeting and you find that two of the members are snippy, snippy, snippy with each other, or are always side-eyeing each other, or sighing at each other. Interpersonal problems will hinder your goals, right? Like, again, are these people helping you grow and expand? And if, you know, and that is not the environment you want to be in. And these problems will be there before you enter and way after you leave. So do you really want to deal with the drama? Let's see. Power hungry. So this kind of, again, leads into cults, or not even cults, sometimes just like people who are in charge who just don't have the ability to be in charge.
power hungry? Do you find that the person who tends to plan everything or put together everything, do they bask in the fact that they have all these people there wanting to hear from them? And do they know things that you couldn't possibly know, those things? And that's just a good thing, a good also rule of thumb for life. If you ever meet anyone and they sound like they have the secrets to like all of the universe and they don't just tell you how you can do it too, they're probably not good for you. One, if you're, again, magically incompatible. So let's say you only do rituals, but they – so I've had this happen where I like my ritual. I know how my ritual works. I know how my magic works, and I know how to do what I need to do. But then you go to like a – you know, you're visiting a coven meeting, and they cast a circle. And then they arts and crafts within a circle. So they called upon spirits or deities or watchtowers or energies or whatever to then just have girl talk and craft. May not be magically compatible, right? Another kind of red flag is if membership is constantly changing. Again, people are constantly – but again, this could depend on what you want. If you're very low commitment and are really only in it for social, this may not be a big deal. But again, this is one of those life things. High overturn anywhere is typically a bad sign. And then finally, bad vibes. Trust your gut. If it feels weird, trust yourself and act accordingly. So I hope that helps. And you're all getting a 2-year sneak peek on this book. But I really hope that helps, Bonnie. All right, we're over time, so let's wrap this up. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Rachel Brady. Rachel, you fair transcendent gazelle. Sherry Taylor. Sherry, you dream like fancy moth. Elaine, you scintillating poetic sunflower. And finally, Ashley Solomon. Ashley, you starry-eyed smashing mongoose. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave today, we do have a card pull. Our card today is Nyx from Deep, Dark, Dangerous Oracle. The darkness is necessary. It is the place of possibility and rest. It is natural and beneficial to experience some cycles of darkness. You can illuminate your way through dark times. Not everything unpleasant is evil. All right, witches. So before we leave, don't forget we still have the last few days of our Sip a Spell sale. 30% off the whole website with code Black Friday. Check it out. I'm really excited to introduce some new teas next year, and we gotta clean out the stash. So yeah, sipaspell.com, and that's it. Order by December 20th because I don't ship out between December 20th and like January 6th, and I don't do it because the world is really fuzzy at that time, and I don't think anyone's really shopping, and like people, I want to spend time with my family, you know? So there we go. So that's it. We will talk again on Thursday.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour timeout to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements, because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.